And like we've always say here, if you have any questions about our services here to church, the Church of Christ congregation, please call the number at the website and we can answer your questions. And I want to welcome our visitors too, and welcome you, and glad you're here tonight, glad you chose to be with us tonight. Our first song tonight will be number 9. Number 9. The name of number 9 is A Wonderful Savior.
A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hides my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft, rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hides my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowns, and fills with his fullness divine. I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a redeemer as mine. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hides my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Our next selection will be number 11. Just turn the page over. Above the Bright Blue, number 11.
Hope I've led this one, we'll find out. There's a beautiful place called heaven. It is hidden above the bright blue, where the good from earth ties are riven, in love and eternity true. Above the bright blue, the beautiful blue, Jesus is waiting for me and for you. Heaven is there, not far from our sight. Beautiful
If you would, please mark number 67 in your songbook. This will be the song of invitation, the song of encouragement after class today. Number 67, Bring Your Christ Your Broken Life. This will be the invitation song. And then before we we'll sing a song, have a prayer, and go to class. After the next one we sing, it'll be number 48 will be the song. And that song is Anywhere with Jesus. So we'll sing number 48, and I'm going to ask James Miller if he would lead our minds in prayer. And then after that, we'll go to class. And number 48 is called Anywhere with Jesus.
Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go, anywhere he leads me in this world below, anywhere without him dearest joys would fade, anywhere with Jesus I am not afraid, anywhere, anywhere, fear I cannot know, anywhere with Jesus I can safely go, anywhere with Jesus I am not.
Please bow with me. Righteous, almighty God, our Creator and our Father, we are so thankful, Father, for an opportunity that we have to come together this evening, that we're truly blessed by you in countless ways, Father. We know your blessings are all around us. Help us, Father, to just open our eyes, to recognize your magnificence, your mercy, your patience, your love. Father, we're thankful, Father, for the greatest manifestation of your love, which is Christ Jesus, your only begotten Son, who left heaven, Father, and came to earth. He lived as a man. He suffered the same frailties that we all suffer. And yet, Father, where we sinned, he remained faithful. And he died, Father, on the cross and became that perfect sacrifice, that atonement that we needed. Because our sins have separated us from you and we have no right, Father, to heaven, except through the blood of the Lamb, Jesus. Father, we're just humbled and thankful, Father, for an opportunity to come together on this Wednesday evening. It's our objective this evening, Father, to glorify your name publicly, to be able to study your word and sing songs of praise to you, to lift up our thoughts and our cares to you and our prayers, to strengthen, Father, the church of our Lord and Savior, to just encourage each other and help each other to be refreshed, Father, as we go about our daily lives with this world of sin all around us, and we too, Father, sometimes slip and fall, and we're not proud of that, Father, but we are thankful for your mercy, which is never ending. We're thankful, Father, that we can come and restart our engines, Father, to face another week in this world. And we can do that with confidence, knowing that you are the God of all love and compassion. Father, we're mindful of some others that we know and love that maybe aren't enjoying some of the same blessings that we are this hour, and we pray that your hand would be with them in particular. Father, we want to mention some of our members who are shut in. Rose Beatty and Jack and Millie Keene, Evelyn Belt and Catherine Wright and Judy Mayberry, who we did find out from our brother Wall that she is doing well. She's had some struggles in her family, and we ask, Father, that you might be merciful to them, that she might continue to draw strength from you. Father, we're just mindful of them always, and we say their names often in prayer because we know that you haven't forgot them, and we haven't either, and we want their encouragement. We want their blessings as well. Father, even among us this evening, some are struggling in different ways. We are so thankful that they've seen fit to come out and to show their dedication, their commitment to you and to your church family. Father, for our visitors this evening, they're an encouragement to us, and we're thankful that they're here, and we hope that they come back and be with us every opportunity that they have. They've encouraged us, and we want to encourage them. Father, for those of our number that have lost loved ones, we ask that your hand of comfort is with them. For all of us, Father, we pray that we'll seek your guidance, we'll seek your wisdom, and we know that we're going to find that in your word. We know that your word is truth, and there's no other way, Father, where we can know what salvation is other than through your written word. Bless your church now and always as we assemble and in our private lives as well. Help us to take every advantage, Father, of opportunities to come to you in prayer, knowing that you hear our prayers and that you answer our prayers. Help us to seek you first and be children of yours. Forgive us and bless us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thing and point it this way, since my mic is still not working, but that picks it up pretty good, doesn't it? All right, we are in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to begin verse 6 and 7 to start with tonight. 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verses 6 and 7. You know, last week we talked about something, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, and I just wanted to kind of clarify something. Marissa pointed out that about the capitalization of God and Jesus, wherever, like he and him and such, and she was exactly right that in many translations that that's indicating of God if it's capitalized. Then I was talking with David Morris, and one of the things maybe most people don't even realize that in the Greek language when it was translated and such, there was no capitalization and no punctuation. And so oftentimes that's why we see long run-on sentences by Paul sometimes that's written the way that it's translated, the way that it is. But it doesn't change the translation, it doesn't change the Word of God, it's just how one language goes from one language to another. So, but I wanted to tell Marissa publicly, because since we talked about in class how much I appreciated her pointing that out. Okay, 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 6 and 7, and then we'll talk about that and go on from there. Remember last week we talked about, in verses 1 through 5, just review it just a little bit, how that it says that the perilous times will come, and there'll be lovers of themselves, people lovers of money, boastful, proud, and so on. And then he continues kind of that thought in verses 6 and 7. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, there's always people that are going to be able to be taken advantage of, and that's a shameful. And here he's talking about gullible women here. So women, I don't think you're gullible particularly more than men, okay? I just wanted to point that out. But I think one of the things he's saying here is that we got to watch out for people. Who are those that are trying to lead people astray? Those that are more receptive to false teaching. And he's really warning here in our text tonight about watching out for false teachers that are not teaching the word of God and the word of truth. It says that in verse 7, they're always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And just think about it for a minute. Where, if we're not studying the Bible, if we're not studying God's word, we could be reading a lot of things that talk about the Bible or talk about religion, but don't teach what the Bible teaches. And so it's very important that when we get down to it, that we want to follow and do what God's word teaches and follow what he says for us to do in our lives. And so if we're going to learn, if we want to know the truth, where should we go? The word of God. That's where we need to go, is to the word of God. And for our visitors, feel free to know that this is not a lecture class, it's a discussion class, okay? So if you have any thoughts you'd like to raise or questions, feel free to do that as we go along. And so if we want to know what is really truth, if we want to come to the knowledge of the truth, then we need to go to the Bible to do that. Well, you see tonight that I'm using papers. That's just because so I can, large print, so I can see better and I can mark it up. I don't want to mark my Bible up like I mark up this page that I do here for you tonight. Any comments about verses 6 and 7 that you'd like to make, or questions? So I guess to summarize, just make sure that we are, if we want to come to the true knowledge of the truth, true knowledge of God, then we need to go to God's word. There's a lot of people that write a lot of things about the Bible. Let's make sure that we go to the Bible to find the truth. Okay, verses 8 and 9. Now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so did these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning their faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Theirs being Jannes and Jambres. There were two men that had opposed Moses in the Old Testament after they had crossed the Red Sea, and these men were opposed to what he was teaching, and they were rebuked. Also, his sister.
Yeah, I don't know where it came from, but my Bible said they were different people than that.
Go ahead. What does it say?
It says that they are two of the sorcerers and magicians that were in Egypt. You know,
that they were Israelites and sorcerers of Egypt.
No, that they were Egyptian sorcerers. That when Aaron had cast down his rod and it became a serpent, then the enchanters and the magicians did likewise.
Did it list their name? List them by name?
It does not list them by
name. I didn't think so.
And I don't know. Yeah.
I'd never heard that before.
Yeah. Well, there's footnote in my Bible for that, and I went back and read that passage, and with certainty they're not listed by name, so I don't know where that supposition came from, nor I guess do we know the other ones. Well, where did you come up with the idea that they were somewhere on across the Jordan?
I thought that's where it was that they were at when they challenged him, was across, after they'd crossed the Red Sea, not the Jordan, when they crossed the Red Sea, shortly after. I didn't go back and relook at it, I'll be honest with you about that.
On verse 8, it just states they resisted.
Yeah, they resisted
it. By name.
Right.
And so that was the magicians at that time that resisted when he threw down his rod and it turned into a snake because it swallowed
But the why would Egyptians be along with the Israelites?
That's a fair question.
I don't know.
It's just a comparison, perhaps, and be the only logical thing.
Anyway.
I don't believe one way or another.
What we do know is that they resisted Moses, right?
Yes.
They were opposed to him. And he says also about that, so do these, the people he's been talking about, right? Those that creep into households and are leaving, so do also they resist the truth. And that's men of corrupt minds. If you resist the truth, are you pleasing to God?
No.
No. And so it says these men did resisted God. They were men of corrupt minds. They were disapproved concerning the faith. In other words, they were opposing what was true, opposing the faith, opposing what God was teaching. But it says in verse 9, it says, they're not going to succeed. It says they will progress no further, for their folly is going to be made known. And the way that we can, how do we find out people that are trying to lead us astray? How do we find out?
We just got to study God's word and find the truth.
That's right, to study God's word, right? Let God's word be the truth finder, right? And to prove what is true by God's word. And that way we can know, and then they will be found out. That's what it says. Their folly will be manifest to all. So what do we need to do? I mean, one of the things that we're looking at, and we're going to see, you know, let's look at the scripture in 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, study to show yourselves approved unto God, right? Workmen that need not to be ashamed, but handling accurately the word of truth. And so we know that if the way for us to do that is to be prepared by knowing the Bible, knowing the word of God, reading it and studying it every day is the guidance that we should do and be reading if we want to know, if we want to make sure we're doing what God wants us to do. Okay, he changes directions in verses 10 and following. He talks, my heading in my Bible said, the man of God and the word of God. So in verses 10 and 11, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Well, remember what we talked about earlier when we said, Paul imitated who?
Christ.
And who did and who did Paul encourage the Christians to imitate? Him, right? And then he says, and they will be examples to all people. And so it went from, you know, Christ to Paul to the Christians he's teaching. And then when they went out, other people followed their example because they had learned what to do and how to live and do right. And so as it says in Timothy also that teach others that they may teach people so that they may teach others also. So train people to know the word of God so that they too can teach the word of God. And Paul says, you have carefully followed my doctrine. Whose doctrine was Paul's doctrine?
Christ.
Pardon?
Christ.
Christ's doctrine, right. God's doctrine. Because Paul was inspired by the word of God, by God's spirit. And they were inspired and guided by Paul and what he did. And he said, I want you to follow my doctrine, my life. So not just what I teach, but what I do, how I live my life. And he says, my purpose. What was Paul's purpose? What was Paul? What was his purpose in life? To preach the gospel, right? To teach the truth, to encourage the Christians. He's followed, this is my purpose. And my faith, of course, we understand that. And then Paul begins to talk about his struggles, long-suffering. Of course, love, perseverance. These are all things that we need in our lives. I mean, of course, we want to have love, but long-suffering and perseverance. In other words, he has long-suffering towards Christians. He has long-suffering to help people to know God. He had perseverance. Did Paul ever give up? That we know about at all in the New Testament? No, he kept on, right? He kept on doing what was right and he kept on going. And we should do that too. Don't let life get us down. And that's easier said than done, isn't it? I mean, life can be really hard sometimes. But don't give up. You know, and keep on keeping on. And, you know, so that we can persevere in it. And then he talks about, of course, I think part of the next ones is because he persevered, because he was long-suffering probably, there were persecutions. And we know that Paul had a lot of persecutions because of what he was doing in his ministry. Afflictions. You know, Paul talked about, you know, being shipwrecked and being beaten and so on. So he had a lot of afflictions in his persecutions. And then he talked about three cities that they happened at. Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. And you know what persecutions I endured. Paul wasn't ashamed to talk about his being persecuted. He didn't brag about it, but he talked about it. Why? Why do you think Paul talked about his persecutions to the Christians?
To let them know what he went through and to let them know that they can too. Mm-hmm. You know, today I think we let a lot of little things get us down and we give up and want to leave the church. But none of us in the last 100 years have been beaten almost to death. Throwed out of Harrisburg, we'll say, because that's where we at. And then get up and go back in and teach.
That's right.
And so I think we need to look at Paul when we think God ain't with us. And we want to give up. A lot of people give up and don't come to church. But we haven't went through nothing like Paul. But yet, we get weary and we get doubt about God. I even do sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, just hearing this tonight, I'm glad I showed up. Because what have I been through that I want to get down and, you know, thank God's not with me? You know? But we do. We get weary and weak sometimes. But just hearing this tonight, it just brought light to me that, yeah, I haven't been through nothing.
Yeah, compared, that's right. And, you know, to think that, you know, sometimes people think bad things happen or some lose a loved one and start blaming God for all these things. And understand that there are two forces in this world. Go ahead, James.
I often thought, you know, like if I was in jail like Paul was, he was teaching his jailers and he was still teaching the gospel from jail.
Uh-huh.
Instead of feeling sorry for himself.
That's right.
And he was using Timothy and he was getting things done. And he was locked behind bars or in prison.
James, you, McMillan, you brought up in class, you know, asked the question, do we want to be like Paul? You know, we talk about these, what we're talking about now. I don't think any of us would say, yes, I want to be persecuted. I want some afflictions, please, God. No, but Paul didn't ask for those things. Why was he persecuted?
Because the people didn't want to listen to the truth, for one thing.
Yeah.
As against the Romans. The Romans had a different outlook.
That's right. But he kept on preaching the truth, preaching the gospel, and he was suffering for it. And he endured, he said, but for the last part of this verse 11, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. God delivered me from all of it. You know, Paul didn't get angry with God. He didn't say, why me, God? Why are you doing this to me? But he kept on in love, in faith, in perseverance, right? Continued on doing and living for God through it all. Satan wants us to blame God, doesn't he? Satan wants us to say, why me? Satan wants to say, God, you're not, you know, you're not fair, whatever. But Paul never did that. He knew where his source of strength was. He knew where his love was at. Knew where his salvation was at through Jesus Christ. Very good. Anyone else have some thoughts you'd like to share before we move on?
Go ahead, James.
I think it's all about mindset, really. I mean, if we think we deserve better than we're getting, then we're going to complain about it. If we think we're getting more than we deserve, better than what we deserve, then we're going to be joyful about it. And that's where Paul was in his Christian relationship. Remember, he called himself the chief of sinners. And
right.
He was right when he said that. So, I mean, he wanted to openly acknowledge at all times the debt that he had been rescued from.
Mm, right.
And we should think more about that probably ourselves. Mm. You know, the debt that
think about what we've been rescued from.
Yeah, we always, well, you know, things aren't exactly the way I would like for them to be. Maybe not. I'm sure they work for him, right? At times he prayed for the thorn in the flesh to be removed, and God.
So true. That's right. Good stuff. James McMillan?
When I was talking on Sunday, we'll talk a little bit more about this Sunday, but I was trying to get everybody to think about what Paul was. He was a chief sinner, so he told everybody he was when he was Saul. But he never, ever quit once he became a Christian.
That's right.
He persevered. He endured the hardships. He endured the shipwrecks, the persecutions, and the beatings. And he done all that, and like James Miller just said, we whine about little things. And like Odell said, we whine about the littlest things. And we hopefully will never be persecuted the way he was.
Yeah.
In this country, I put it that way.
Right.
And when we whine about the little things, where's our Christianity really at? Think about that. Are we enduring it? No, we're complaining about the little things. And we make them into something a lot bigger than what they are.
Good thoughts. Appreciate it. You know, I think that we do. As you were talking about that, it made me think that Paul went all through these persecutions, right? What rewards, what blessings did he have in his daily life, in his life as a Christian? What rewards, what blessings, what things could he rejoice about as a Christian? Besides, you know, salvation and such. But what were some things that he probably really rejoiced in?
He rejoiced because he got to preach the gospel.
Yeah.
He rejoiced because he lived long enough to take it to many, many, many people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he endured over several years preaching.
Think about all the churches he helped to establish. Think about all the Christians, that people that became Christians out of really Gentile worlds, idol worshipers and everything else, that changed and came to Christ. You know, think about being able to teach the whole Praetorian, that just always gets me, the whole Praetorian Guard in Rome while he was in prison. In 2 years, he taught the whole Roman royal guard. That's just, and I'm sure many of them became Christians, knowing Paul, right? And so there's many blessings that came along with the persecutions that, okay, it's worth it. I mean, you can see it physically, and the blessings of people coming to Christ, the church is growing. You know, yes, there were struggles. We know as he wrote to churches that they were growing up and he had to correct them about things. But the churches were growing. He had people like Timothy that were faithful. Now we're going to read about some people that were not.
I think Timothy was one of the biggest joys.
I think so too. Yeah.
They called him his son
in
the gospel.
Yeah, I think he had several of those. Several of those. As he writes letters, he talks about the people that were a blessing to him. So brothers and people that were blessings. You know, people can be blessings to our lives, can help us through, make sure that we stand strong. And so...
that Onesimus that helped him?
Pardon?
Was that Onesimus?
Onesimus?
That helped him?
Yeah.
And he told him to go back to his master?
Right.
And he talked to the master and said, look, he's a Christian like you. You have the right to kill him, but remember what you did.
Right.
So whatever punishment he gave Onesimus, he didn't kill him.
No.
And so that was a joy because Onesimus helped him a lot while he was in prison.
We don't read about it a lot, but probably from, you know, kind of indications of the history that there were a lot of people in this Roman time frame that were slaves. And many of these slaves became Christians like him. Many slaves, it was said, you know, history tells us that probably there are many slaves that became Christians. Paul, who did Jesus say he went to? He said he'd go to the poor, right? You know, he didn't go to the rich and fancy, even though some of those, of course, became Christians as well. But he went to the poor. Like he didn't go just to the Jews, he went to the Gentiles. Gentiles, barbarian, and free, you know, right? That's what he talked about. So there's a lot of joys and blessings that go along with being a child of God. Yes, Charles.
Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new.
That's right.
Great consolation that is.
Great consolation. That's so true. Thanks, Jarvis. Okay, let's go on to verses 12 and 13. He says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Well, there we go. All who live godly lives are what? Will suffer persecution. Does that challenge us?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean, again, Paul's not saying go out and seek persecution. But go out and do the will of God and work out in the world with Christ, and people will persecute you because you're standing up for me. That's a challenge. That really is a really big challenge. In 13, he says, but, he's always that comparison. This is what's going to happen with the good. This is what's going to happen with the evil. But evil men and imposters, imposters to what? The truth, to faith, to the word of God, will grow worse and worse, being deceiving and being deceived. Well, first of all, they probably were deceived, and that because they were deceived, they accepted that and they deceived others. Deceiving and being deceived. Again, we make sure that we're not being like that because we're studying the Word of God and we live and portray only the Word of God in our faith and our walk with Him. Only the Word of God. Don't be deceived by what people teach or what people say. Rely upon God's Word. Does that make sense to y'all? I think that's the way to go. If you're in the Word of God and you know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, right? Yeah, it shall set you free. But there's going to be people out there in our world. There was during the time of Jesus, wasn't there? I mean, the people cried. The Pharisees and Sadducees created the crowds to cry, persecute him, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And no one stood up for him. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. Of course, there were some at the cross that stood with him, by him at the cross. But John, the Apostle John, we know for sure, and Mary and his mother and so on. So there were those that stood at the foot of the cross and were there for him. We know that there was Joseph, Josephus, right? At the cross. Whose grave was he? Did he bury
Joseph of Arimathea.
Joseph of Arimathea, that's right. I said Joseph, then it didn't sound right to me. Joseph and also Nicodemus helped him, was rich, that helped at the helped with Jesus after he died and helped him with the burial and such. So there were those that did stand up for him that were wealthy as well. But most had fled, most left him. No one stood up and said, no, don't crucify him. No one did that.
Thankful. Thankful for that.
Well, yeah, we are thankful for that now. But what a, just think of all the people that he healed.
It would have happened in God's way.
Would have been, but we're thankful that he was crucified because it took our sins away, right? I mean, there's no other way that salvation could have happened. That's why Jesus didn't stand up and defend himself. That's why when at the cross they were saying, come down off the cross and we'll believe you. Well, what a lie was that, you know? They hadn't believed anything else. But Jesus stayed on the cross for us. So it's what God planned, what Jesus sacrificed himself for, to stay on the cross, to take away our sins. But then, of course, during Paul's time, he says there's evil men, deceivers. Today there's evil people that are deceivers of the truth, leading people astray. So we need to be careful that we abide through the Word of God again. All right, let's go on to 14 through 16. Sir.
There, verse 13, I'll go back to that for a second.
That's okay.
These evil men and the imposters, they're both the ones doing the deceiving.
Right.
Right, so I guess what that means to me, right, if we are not preparing our minds for truth, then you know, we're an imposter ourselves. You know, we don't have to be misleading others. We just have to let our guard down.
If you're being led and being deceived,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that makes us an imposter and an evil person.
Right. I guess, and Timothy talks about this, and he's going to talk about it real soon at the end of this chapter again, but I really encourage each of us to be in the Word of God every day. Study the Word of God. Read the Word of God every day. And I'm not talking about, you know, some people say, I read the Bible. I read a verse a day. I have a verse a day is what I read and follow. No, I mean, get into the Word of God. Know it. Learn it. And, you know, we might have memory lapses like I do sometimes, you know, with names. But still, we need to know what the Bible says and to follow through with it in every way that we possibly can. Thanks, James. Okay, now verses 14 through 16. But you must continue in things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Doesn't that really answer a lot of what we've just been talking about? Paul says, you know, continue in the things that you've learned, study, you know, into knowing the Word of God you've been assured of, knowing whom you have learned them from. Now, of course, Apostle Paul is not here teaching us today, but is the Apostle Paul here teaching us today? He's here. We're reading from it right now, Timothy, right now, right? Another place, not just in Timothy, but he teaches us through Christ, through the holy inspiration of God, that we can know the Word of God. From childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures. And it's important, so important, that we don't just say, well, I know what I was taught by my parents. I'm not saying your parents weren't good teachers. But what we need to do is we need to know for ourselves from the Word of God. We need to know. Each one of us needs to know God's Word so that it fills our hearts and fills our souls. Why? Last part of that verse, 15. Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We want to be wise. Wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Right? We need to know the Holy Scriptures to make us wise for salvation. We need to make sure of our salvation, know that we know what the Bible teaches so that this can be who we are and what we do and follow what it says through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is our answer, our salvation. He is the solution through the whole Bible. Jesus Christ is the theme through the whole Bible. You know, from the very beginning, it was prophesied that he would come and redeem us from sin, that he would take us, and then we take it all the way through. The prophecies, there's hundreds of prophecies about Jesus Christ out of the Old Testament that he would come. Then he came, right? He came in the Christian age. He died on the cross in the Christian age. The church, his church was established. And so through the New Testament, we read about this, and we want to be a part of it. So we can know of our salvation. We can know for sure if we're right with God through faith, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay, I got on a soapbox there for a minute. But I think this is really, really strong that Paul is teaching Timothy this because he wants to teach us also. We've got about 5 minutes, and so I want to go... Read it, please.
It says, hold you fast the faithful words as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Yeah, we've got to know the word.
That's right.
We've got to, you know,
You know, and I mean, I'm going to use Jamie as an example from what you told me about your dad, that he had a fantastic memory, right? He knew it so well. And it would be, I'm not saying you do this, but it'd be so easy for a son or a child to say, well, my father knew this. He knew the Bible so well. But is it still your responsibility to know the Bible too, Jamie? Yeah, he set an example for you, didn't he? So that's so true. And my dad read the Bible. My dad became a Christian when he was 48 years old. No, I take that back. When he was, it's later than that, because I was about 8 years old, so it had been about 58. I'm just thinking out loud. He would have been about 50, 57, 56 or 58 when he became a Christian, you know. And so he was late coming, but he studied the Bible too. He had his Bible open every day, reading from the Bible. And set an example, you know, set an example. We got about 3 minutes now. Read less, and we can come back to this. We don't have to finish here, but I want us to read verses 16 and 17, which are very, I think, very key to what we've studied about tonight. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Paul is saying, everything that I have written, everything I have told you, comes from God. God has inspired me. That's what inspiration means. It comes from God, right? The inspiration of God. This comes from God. This is not my message, Paul said. It's God's message. And what is it good for? Profitable. For doctrine, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Just think, all these things is what God's word is good for. And why? Verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, there is our answer, there is our solution about being ready to know the word and to study the word so that we may be complete. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. God has given us this, has designed it for us, he's planned it for us, he's laid it out for us. God has done this so that we may be complete. If we're complete, does it take care of those evil teachings that took place that we just talked about? Will it overcome that? Will it overcome all those who have, who suffer, evil men he talked about there. Then earlier we talked about people that resist the truth. We talked about those that creep into households, all those that are learning but never come to the knowledge of the truth. All of that can be overcome if we come back to verses 14 through 17. But especially verse 16 and 17. We can know what the Bible is good for. All Scripture has been given to us by God. And we can know that and live in it and abide by it. It'll do everything we need. It's profitable for teaching, doctrine, pre-teaching, for reproof, for correcting us. Do we need correcting? Do we need to be corrected by the Word of God? I think we all talk about that. We all struggle with sin, so we all need correcting, don't we? We need to be trained for righteousness and holiness. The man of God may be complete. Well, maybe we should be praying more for having our lives to be complete in God, right? We need to be complete, completely his children, 100% all in. James, did you have a thought?
Yeah, I got one thought. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 12.
Okay, please do.
This is verses 22 and 23. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect.
Yeah, there you go.
Perfect. And that verse also has that same idea.
Complete, perfect, right?
Yes. So the Hebrew writer refers to us as being perfect, right? We're not perfect because we've never done wrong. We're perfect because the blood of Christ
makes us
that
perfect.
Way.
Yeah.
We're perfected.
Well, just, I mean, we talk about being righteous, right? Mm-hmm. We're not righteous because of ourselves, but we're righteous because He's made us righteous. Mm-hmm. He has justified us. He has made us to be without sin because He's forgiven us. So tonight, as we finish up and we talk about this and get ready to sing a song here to kind of conclude it, and I left my songbook back there, but that's okay. As we sing about this tonight, to know that God has given us a place that we can come to Him and walk with Him and be with Him. So, and we're going to stand and sing here, and we ask you to come if you need to for prayers, for strength, for anything that you like. So let's do that as together we stand and sing.
Bring Christ your broken life, so marred by sin. He will create anew, make whole again. Your empty, wasted years, He will restore. And your iniquities, remember no more. Bring Him your every care, if great or small. Whatever troubles you, oh, bring it all. Bring Him the haunting fears, the nameless dread. Thy heart He will relieve and lift up thy head. Bring Him your weariness, receive His rest. Weep out your blinding tears upon His breast. His love is wonderful, His power is great, and none that trust in Him shall be desolate. Blessed Savior of us all, almighty friend, His presence shall be ours unto the end. Without Him life would be, how dark, how drear, but with Him morning breaks and heaven is near.
It's good to see everybody tonight. It was good to see our visitors tonight. We want to welcome you back. And if you're in our radio listening audience, we want to welcome you back to listen to us. And like I said, if you have any questions about what we're doing here in this congregation of the church, feel free to call and somebody will try to help you or try to get some answers that you're looking for. Now let's remember Mike Porter with his burns. I saw as he showed me his arms this Lord's Day, and he's healing up. It's slow, but he's healing up. And let's remember him in our prayers. And let's remember Naomi Simmons and Dustin. And it was good to see Rose set through services last Sunday, and that was really great. I had to take a double look, but he was there. And let's remember Ken and Sandy White and Tamitha with her stomach problems, and she was baptized last Lord's Day too. And let's remember Naomi's sister, Shari, with her ear infections and her health problems going on. And let's remember our shut-ins, Rose Beasy, Catherine Wright, Evelyn Belt, and Judy Mayberry, and Jack and Millie King. And anybody else have any other announcements?
James, Sherry, and Naomi's sister passed away.
Oh, she died?
Naomi and Sherry, their sisters.
Yeah.
Their sisters passed away.
Linda. Yeah, there were several of them kids, I believe. A big family,
yeah.
I believe. And that was in Kentucky, I think, or where was that at?
Well, she was in Texas.
In Texas, okay.
She was visiting family down in Texas when she passed away.
Oh, well, let's remember their family in our prayers. And we don't.
James?
Yes, sir.
My newest assistant, just hired last Monday, she's got a 9-year-old daughter named Saya, and she has something wrong with her brain. She's got the guess it's the cerebellum there, is swollen. I think there's some kind of problem there, and it's causing her some problems. So I want us to pray for her. Name's Saya. It's a different
Saya.
Is it S-A-Y-A, and she says it's Saya. It's not say it's Saya. So, you know, I appreciate some prayers for her, and her Saya McCulley.
McCulley.
Her name's Heather.
Send out some prayers that she could get some results and some relief, and
yes,
God will take care of her. Anybody else have any other announcements before? Yes, sir.
I saw an ortho today. No surgery,
that's
but
good.
They gave me a shot in the knee.
Ooh.
And basically over the next 2 weeks while it's working, and other medications, I'm supposed to take it easy. But they're saying it's basically where I fell on it in October, that I probably did tear the tendon, but it's probably already healed. And it's just residual effects they saw in the MRI, but it's just it activated basically arthritis, a different type of arthritis. I don't remember the term that he said, but that's what he's saying is causing my knee. So.
We'll send prayers. The congregation will pray for some results. You know, you're arriving at an older age.
Then tomorrow, I have a CT with contrast for stomach issues that they're trying to.
Okay. Any other announcements before we're dismissed?
Just pray for us. We're going to pick up. Michaela's moving back home, so.
Okay. Pray for the Millers to have a safe trip to bring their daughter back home from college. Anything else? Brother Wall is going to lead our minds in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the opportunity we had once again this evening to come together.
Amen.